We have a deep connection, that connection of God's love. But many times we don't see that. And so my invitation today is for us all to learn to watch with grace. I got an email yesterday letting me know that I had a tax refund. And it was from the government of India, a rupees tax refund that was available to me. 846 rupees, which is not very much. And I thought to myself, yeah, it's so easy when we see part of something, tax refund, you're to get all excited. And then to go, oh well. But it's also very easy to get excited about things that don't seem so good either. And many times we get excited about stuff and later on, oh well, that wasn't that important, was it? And if we learn that there's a part of us that we can step into, some people call it the observer, to step out of our rational, conscious way of engaging in life and the appearances and disappearances of life, and to step into a part of ourself that can see through what we're doing and see what we're doing in a larger context, it can make a difference for ourselves. Because it's so easy to get caught in appearances, but there's a clarity of spiritual vision that is ours that we can live with and live from on a regular basis. And that way of living is a creative, powerful way because it lives out of that Christ of who and what we are. I was fascinated. There was a story in the paper a couple days ago about Evan Lysacek, who won the men's gold for figure skating. And it said that in his room at home, he had a little sign up on his wall that says, "Mind your own business." And what he means by that is there's a lot of drama that goes into figure skating. And particularly if you followed it, it's, you know, the Russian thought that, you know, that if you can't jump, you know, these four turns, and then you shouldn't be able to get the gold. But it's not about a jump. It's about a whole program, isn't it? And so many times we look at somebody and say, well, if only this was in place. But really what we're looking for is something larger. And what Evan has trained himself to say, mind your own business. Don't worry about what somebody else's business is or what they think your business is. Mind your own business. Know what you are and what you're about. And by doing that, he was able to earn the gold. Jesus put it this way, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And what this says is that there is for us in every moment an opportunity to look at what's going on in a prayerful way, to watch and pray. Otherwise, we get caught up in the moment and forget that there's something more. The spirit that wants to express. The spirit is more than willing to express through it. It's why it created us. So that we could be its vehicles, so that we could be the channels for its blessing. But we get caught up in this fleshy part of ourselves and think that's who we are and what it's about, and we forget that truth of who and what we are. And what I have found is that when I am fixated on the things of the outer world, things of the flesh we could call them, but the things of the outer world, and seeking my fulfillment in them, it's never enough. That chocolate goodie that, gee, if it only tasted better, but I better eat three of them just in case it gets better next time. You know, those things that we look for that maybe it'll be different this time, and to know, no, there's the fulfillment comes from that connection within ourselves. And when we see that there's a depth there, when we see that there's a power there, then we can live from that. And even when our good seems delayed in some way, we can live from that. One of the phrases I was working with this week is this one. Every moment reveals God's good. Every moment reveals God's good. Now, again, it may not look like that in the moment, but it's there. One of the stories that I thought of with this was a woman who had decided that she'd heard about swimming with the dolphins and how wonderful that was. So she decided to go swim with the dolphins. She was down in Florida and she'd heard. So she was there and she was a little tentative. She wasn't that sure in the water, and they were going to give her, you know, life jacket and everything. And she sort of waited and watched the other people in the water with the dolphins. They all seemed to be having a great time. So she eased herself into the water and started to make her way. And one of the dolphins came up, and these bottlenose dolphins, and with the tip of its nose came and just thumped her right on the chest. And she just knocked the wind out of her, and she got out of the water and thought, well, that wasn't very fun. And she sat there and again watching all the other people, and it seemed to be just having a great time and with the dolphins. So she said, well, I'll try it once more. And so she gets in the water again, and the same thing happens. The dolphin came up and just thumped her right in the middle of her chest. And she goes, well, it hurt. So she got out of the water, and for the next days, her chest hurt where that dolphin had thumped her, and it just kept hurting. And she finally went to the doctor, and they took x-rays, and they found out she had breast cancer. It was in the early stages, so they could, take care of it easily. But by being thumped on the chest by a dolphin, which didn't happen to anybody else, and she was feeling, bad about that, what came out of that was something that helped her live a little bit longer. And so that recognition that in the moment, it looked like a painful, embarrassing thing to happen, yet it was something that she needed. It was something that she needed for herself. So every moment reveals God's good. And our job is to be witness to that. And that's my theme for this Lenten season, is witness to resurrection. It was such an interesting process for me because I started back last August working on my theme for this Lenten season because I like to be able to develop it and to make it all work together. And you know, I like to play with acronyms, and then that'll be revealed as we go through that. And I had a whole thing in mind. It had all worked out and everything and was ready to go with it. And Spirit said, no, that's not it. And then I came across that word witness. And I thought, what a wonderful word. What does a witness do? The witness tells the truth of what they've seen, doesn't it? And I thought, well, what have we seen? We've seen the resurrection. I love, in the traditional Christian church, sometimes they say that we live on this side of the resurrection. We know the rest of the story, right? Good Friday, in the traditional church is a very, down energy, but we know the rest of the story. We know about the resurrection. And the truth is that we have seen many resurrections in our own lives and in the lives around us. And one of the things that's exciting to me is to be able to say, I've seen the resurrection. I've seen it with one of our men who was a hospice patient, had congenitive heart failure, was in hospice. And usually when you get hospice, it's because you've got, 3, 4, maybe 6 months to live. But many times by the time they go into the hospice facility, they're only there for, 3 or 4 days, sometimes a week at the most. So here he was in the hospice facility. And, the family hovering around him. And I went in and we were praying. And about a week and a half later, he went home alive. And they said, well, another graduate from hospice. Not the way you usually think of graduating from hospice. He lived another 5 years. So I've seen that. Does it happen every time? No. But it happens sometimes. I still remember probably one of those powerful experiences for me as one of our members, and this was years ago, Ann Geiger. She'd been a smoker her whole life. The doctor said that she had her lungs, the tissue in her lungs was almost gone. There was maybe a little bit around the edge of her lungs. They couldn't even figure out how she was breathing at this point. And she was in the hospital. They had her on a respirator, and they were sure that if they took the respirator off her, she would go. She would die. And so they gathered the family around. The family wanted me to be there when they were going to take the respirator off. So we took the respirator off her, and she's just barely breathing, barely her lungs moving at all. And then after about a half an hour, again, we're sort of hovering around. She took a deep breath and looked around and said, well, I'm still here. And she lived another 2 years. The doctors had no idea how she did it. Well, I have also seen people who have been fired from their jobs who thought it was the end of their life, who out of that experience found something different, not only just in terms of a job, but sometimes found a whole different way of putting their energy to use in the universe, and found out of that a whole new way of being with a whole new sense of joy in their lives. I've seen that resurrection as well. I've seen that after experiencing a loss of a loved one or a pet, or whatever, that there is a resurrection that happens, a movement of spirit that lifts us up into something greater. Even if someone leaves you and you think that's going to be the end of you, I've seen the resurrection in that as well.